lost and found chapter in the Bible. And certainly we really, really need a homecoming. It's time to come home. I believe that ought to be echoed across our nation. I believe that ought to be sounded from the rooftops of our churches. That should be announced in our families. It should be upon the throne of our heart. It's time to come home. What does that mean to people today? Homecoming. For the church to come home. I believe it's one of the greatest needs that we have across our nation, our land. Probably one of the greatest needs we have in our families. Our families are so scattered today. Our church families. It's time to come home. And be what the church of God intended the church to be. Homecoming. What is it? Well, the first place, when you think of homecoming, it used to be when a church had homecoming, it was a place where people had got saved. They grew up in a certain family church, moved off, and they had to come home to remember what God had done for them in the early days of salvation and their family and come back home. It's a time whenever people have got cold and indifferent to their local church and their life reflects the coldness upon their life and they miss church and they have no care or concern for the commitment of church. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. It's time when a place whenever people comes home for sinners to be saved. Homecoming. Homecoming at every Sunday that we have church, we have rehearsal of a homecoming. But next Sunday will be rehearsal of a homecoming of God's people, a homecoming rehearsal in the sky. As I said, when everything comes back home, it's a homecoming rehearsal. When God has all of his people have that great table in the sky, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I was fortunate to grow up in a country in my early childhood days. I've told you many times, and a lot of you is here today, as old as I am and older, that supper time was one of the greatest times of the day. It come time whenever night began to fall. Everybody had their chores to do. Different ones in the family went around doing different things during that day. But it come time for supper, that's when all the family came home, came to the supper table. Their work they had done that day was ended. They had laid down everything they had. The chores was done. The table was set. It was time to come home for the grand day of rehearsal of what you have done that past day. And that reminds me of that song they sing so much. Come home, it's supper time. There's a lot of people, even the younger generation, do not understand homecoming as I used to have it at our home. Supper's not no big deal anymore in families because they don't have a table of supper anymore. And see, churches got away from homecoming also. What does it really mean to the Christians, to the members of the church to have a homecoming? They forgot about what God has done for them. Homecoming. But thank you, Lord, he still remembers us whether we remember him or not. Homecoming. So we see the numbers this morning. How easy would it be for us to double this number next week for our homecoming? Family members to understand what it means to be sitting by your family and come to that supper that God has prepared. Chapter 15, Jesus Christ had critics. He always will have. Christians, we have critics today. It says in verse 1 of chapter 15 of Luke, then draw near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes mumbled, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this occasion on this day that was representing the pre-homecoming. Lord, we know that each day that we meet, Lord, you have prepared a meal for us. Every Wednesday night, every Sunday night, every Sunday morning, Father, we thank you for your prepared meal that you have for each and every one of your children. Father, if they would just come home around the table of the Lord's Supper, Father, of the Word of God, and feast on the Word of God. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the blessings you bless us with. Father, still for loving us, although that people forget you, Father, so many times during the week, and so many other things are important. But we just want to thank you, Lord, that we were so important to you, that you did not quit, that you did not back up, and Father, you kept us on your mind all the way to the cross of Calvary. We thank you for that blessing of salvation in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Where would you be today if that was not a true statement? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ receiveth sinners and eateth with them? Homecoming, as I said. Thank you, Lord, for that. When sinners are welcome here each day. You know what? That's what this church is all about, where sinners are welcome. I am welcome here. You are welcome here. So thank you for this homecoming. But Jesus Christ gave this parable. I know that you have heard and preached about three different parables in this chapter, maybe four, but Jesus Christ is really teaching one parable in three different parts, as I have it on the board for you. The parable this day, the sheep was lost. Lost sheep, lost silver, and a lost son. The sinful nature of man, but the saving nature of God in this chapter today. The sinful nature of mankind, we see it's the weakness of man without God. Did you know that you're weak without God, without strength? Each one of us without strength. God died for us whenever we were sinners without strength. We did not have the strength to live a godly life. We did not have the strength to live a just life. But God died for us. So it says there in verse 4, preparing us to sheep, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost till he finds it? And when he hath found it, he laid it upon his shoulders and rejoiced. And when he had come home, he called together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just person which needeth no repentance. He shows us now the sinful nature of man, the weakness of man without God. We all are. We all like sheep, he said. We're like sheep, we are lost. And that means sheep are dumb animals. We are dumb animals without God. You see, they stray away. Sheep, he gives a great example of what sheep does. And we're all sheep. We stray away. We go astray. The numbers of sheep that strayed away from the fold of God at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, they have strayed away. Several of them. Isaiah says in 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sheep astray away. Where is all God's sheep at today across this land, across this nation, that's not worshiping Jesus Christ as their salvation man that come and died on the cross for them? Where is the sheep at today? They have strayed from the narrow way, and that is Jesus Christ. Sheep are just pure dumb animals. So you can train a dog, you can train a cat, you can train a horse, you can train bear, you can train tiger, you see all these animals trained. But poor old sheep, they just browse around, they nibble here and nibble there, and before long, you know what, they have left the feet show of the sheepfold. They're gone. So many sheep, you know, they start nibbling over here on this and they nibble over there, and before long they forget about the service of the Lord and they have gone. You know, it's easier sometimes for sheep just kind of fade away. Sheep cannot find their way back home. You see, we have a homecoming, and that means we need to invite people to come home, because, you see, you can carry an old dog off 25 miles and they're liable to beat you back home. Dog can find a way back home. Cats can find their way back home. I remember when they had what they call a no-fence law. I mentioned this several times, whenever animals could roam this whole country. But people's cows and people's hogs had a way of finding their way back home with no fence nowhere for them, but they would find their way back home. There's a lot of animals can find their way back home, but not a sheep. I've never had any sheep. I don't know what much about sheep, but I read a lot about sheep. But I understand one thing, they are just sheep and they just walk away, leave the fold. Romans 3:11 says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, and we're like sheep. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Unprofitable. When sheep leaves the fold, they are unprofitable. They go astray their own way. How many have done exactly that? They're very dependable. Sheep have to have something to depend on. They're so dumb. They have to depend on their shepherd. Matthew 9:36 says, but when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They need a shepherd. A shepherd of the church. A lot of people say, well, I'm saved and nothing. I don't have nothing to do with a church. They do not have a shepherd. God called people to be shepherds. God called preachers to be shepherd over the flock. But yet they say, I have no part of that flock. I have nothing to do with that church. Well, they just need to examine their life and see what condition they are really, really in. No church and no shepherd. Philip Keller is a man that wrote a book on the 23rd Psalm. It's a very, very interesting book, because he was a shepherd himself. He knew a lot about sheep. And he wrote in that book about a cast sheep. Well, what is a cast sheep? Well, as a shepherd would carry their sheep out on the hills, and they would graze all during the day, and they would fill their stomach with a good old tender grass. And, you know, a sheep is like a cow. They lay down and chew their cud. Well, whenever the eating time comes, when that sheep lays down to chew its cud, all that fur, the sheep is fat, ground is unlevel, and so many times when that sheep would lay down, it would flip over on its back. And there that old soft wool was, and the sheep would have his feet sticking up in the air, and he could not get back on his feet. And you see the gas would reel up in his system, and after a while it cut off the circulation, and the sheep would literally die. It's called a cast sheep. Lost. That's the reason when the shepherds at night time come, as the sheep would come into the fold at night to put them up at night, they would count them. And this man had 99 was in there, but one was left. Well, there was a cast sheep out there somewhere. That shepherd then would go and get that sheep, put that sheep on his back, and bring that sheep back to the fold. A cast sheep. That's the way it is with people. They cannot find their way back. Once they leave, they have no time for the church. They have no time for activities of the church. They have no time for the Word of God. They have no time for the people of God. They have no time. They're cast sheep. They need somebody to help them find their way back to the sheepfold. As a shepherd. And each one of us could be a shepherd, help somebody find their way back to the fold. Sheep cannot do that. So homecoming is a time set aside for us that we may have some family members here that we hadn't had lately. No matter what their problem is, they need help. So you know, they just can't help, they're just dependable. They need to depend on somebody, and that's you and I as we try to help them back. But not only that, we find they are defenseless. Sheep are defenseless. You know, a horse will kick. And I guarantee you, a horse can kick, and a dog will bite you, and some of them will bark to see your britches out. But a cat will scratch, and we know what a skunk can do, don't we? They're not defensive. But now a sheep, what can a sheep do? Nothing. They can't even run fast. They're just pure defensive. Well, you know what? That's a match for us. That's what he's talking about. We're like sheep. And all these things, and we go on and on, we're like sheep. We're no match for the devil eagles without the good shepherd. And people think they can live without the good shepherd shepherding them, without the church shepherding them. They're out there and they're going to be cast sheep. Sooner or later it will come to them. They're going to need a shepherd. But we see the sinful nature of man and the weakness of man without God. But you see the worthiness of man without God. What are we really worth without God? In this same chapter 8 and 9 and 10, as we see what it says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she hath found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repenteth. Okay, we're like lost silver. Like lost sheep, we're like lost silver. A lost coin is absolutely worthless, is it not? If it's lost, it is worthless. It is out of circulation. When God's people are out of circulation, they are absolutely worthless to God of doing the work that God has called them to do. What God has called every one of us to do, we're out of circulation. We cannot do what God has called us to do. Jesus Christ is speaking of that is out of circulation, this lost coin. Now, the silver coin was made for a purpose. It was made to be spent. It was made to be valuable. Lost, when it's lost, it is worthless to the one who made it. And Jesus Christ says, you know what? Just worthless. Jesus Christ made us. We are valuable. But which one is the most valuable? $100 gold piece on the ocean floor or a nickel? Both of them will have the same value if they're out of circulation and they're lost. We are worthless if we're out of circulation. We're like the lost coin, what God made us for. God made every one of us. Whenever you're saved, he called you for a holy calling, for a righteous calling. He's called you into the body of Christ Jesus, and you have a place in Christ Jesus. Every person that's saved ought to be in that place that God has called them. If you're not, you're out of circulation, and you are worthless to the one who created you. But not only that, lost as this lost coin was, out of circulation, but also lost in darkness. Lost in darkness. She said she lit a candle. Well, she lit a candle because, you see, mankind is in darkness. They're blind without God. Without the shepherd, without leading them, without the word of God, lost in darkness. This coin was lost in darkness and blindness. Jesus said, they hate the light. They will not come to the light because their deeds are evil. That's one of the reasons across our nation that churches are not full. This statement, because their deeds are evil. They got no time for Jesus Christ. Their deeds are evil. U.S. today, the people are leaving the churches by the hundreds today. They have no time for the word of God, for the people of God, for the thing of God. And you know what they're doing? They're just taking a trip. They do not want to get involved. They do not want to get concerned on the things that God has called them to do. They're lost in darkness, and their soul is getting darker all the time. John 3 and 19 says, and this is a condemnation that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They will not come. Lost in darkness. They think they have light, but they're lost in darkness. But not only that, they're lost in dirtiness. Look what she done. Then she get a light to light the house, but she took a broom and she went sweeping the house. Now what did that tell you? Lost in darkness, but lost in dirtiness. Because what you need to do is stir up the dust of the house if you sweep it, do you not, ladies? Psalm 53, 2 and 3, you know what it said? God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Lost in dirtiness, she began to sweep that house to find that coin in that dirtiness. But also lost in disgracefulness. 10 pieces of silver she had. Now this was not 10 pieces of coin that you have in your pocket or 10 pieces of coin you have in your purse. She lost one. 10 is a number of completion in the Bible. 7, completion, and also perfection. Now, these 10 pieces of silver is a wedding gift from her husband. At that time, they had a little bow, or either had a ribbon around their neck when they got married, around their head, forehead, and they would put a hole in a piece of silver coin and have 10 of them, and they'd be around, all the way around their head. The same thing, ladies, if you have a wedding ring, it meant the same thing, a wedding ring. These 10 pieces of coin was given to her from her husband, and it showed her, really, her love for him and his love for her. Now, she has lost one of those coins. Now, whenever they lost this, and this is the custom of the Jews at that time, whenever she lost one of these, it meant something. Because, you see, when a woman was unfaithful to a man in the Jewish time, they would take one of those coins off of that ribbon around her forehead. When she wore that out in public, she had to. When she wore that out in public, it was let people know that she had been unfaithful to her husband. She had been unfaithful to her husband. This woman was looking for this piece of silver because she didn't want to go out in public with this piece of silver missing, because it had been disgraceful for her to go out. So she looked for that diligently, searched for it, turned on the lights, swept the floor, because she wanted everybody to know that she had not been unfaithful to her husband. It would be the same thing, ladies, if you was not to wear your wedding ring out or your engagement ring out. That's what it meant to her. Now, Satan wants to make us all we can a disgrace. You see, this was disgrace to her part, for her not to have that coin around her head, have that space in that ribbon where that coin's supposed to be. It made her a disgrace. Well, old Satan wants to take our lives and make us a disgrace to God's grace by being unfaithful to him. And we need to come together and understand what it means to serve and worship God once again, because we need to worship God the way God expects for us to worship him. But not only that, we also see the saving nature of God. But before we get to there, the wretches of man without God and a lost son. I thank God for the saving nature of God, because me and you wouldn't be here today. But you see, the wretches now without man without God. And this comes out into the lost son. Now think about the lost son. All of us know about this old prodigal son. We've heard it so many times, 11 through 16. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that befall me. And he divided them into his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there arose a famine, great famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and he sent him to the field to feed swine. And he would faint, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine had eat, but no man gave unto him. And y'all know the story of the prodigal son. He wanted his inheritance then. But you find out after you go off, and so many people have, going into a foreign land, they leave in the things of God, they leave the house of God, and they go off into a foreign land. Verse 14 said, and he began to be in wants. You know what he said to his daddy? He says, Daddy, I want all what you're going to give me, and I want it now. I don't want to wait till you die. I want it now. He said, I don't want you. I just want what you got. I don't want your fellowship. I don't want you, but I want what you got. Today, people saying that very, very same thing with their actions as Christians. God, I do not want you. I want to live on this green earth. I want to breathe your air. I want to eat your food. I want to enjoy the rain and the sunshine, but stay out of my life. I don't want you. Now, that is the attitude of many a person today that want what God gives them, but they don't want God. The prodigal son, they don't want to worship. No church activity, nothing they want. They want what God gives them, like God owes them a living, like God owes them a life. God do not owe you anything. Everything you have, ever will have, will be a gift from God. Everything. I don't want you, God. I just want what you have, the prodigal son. In our families, in our nation across this day, all we see, it says he was in want. He began to be in want. But see, blessings will turn to cursings. You take someone, when God begins to bless them, the more he gives them, the less they'll come to church. There are a lot of blessings that are going to be turned to cursings in our country. Pleasures will turn to poverty. Because people have time for everything but God. But there will come a time when everything they use before God, it will not satisfy them. This man done that. He found himself in want, it says. And everybody that forsakes God will find themselves in want someday. Because the pleasure of this world, the money of this world, the power of this world, the prestige of this world, material things of this world, will not satisfy the longness in their heart for God. They will be in want. He began to be in want in verse 14. Depression set in. And I tell you, there's nothing that costs you more than sin. And it is a sin to put God in second place in people's lives. Depression set in. Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent unto him to the fields to feed swine. Now, he was a Jewish man to a far country. And the same thing is happening today. A lot of families, a lot of people today, they are in a foreign country than what God has called them to be. And this man, for hogs, you know, sometimes whenever someone goes astray and they say, well, he's gone to the dogs. You ever heard that statement? Well, they just gone to the dogs. This is a statement. He's gone to the hogs. Very same thing. That's the statement was made when he went to feeding swine, because a Jewish person would not even touch a hog. Wouldn't eat hog, had nothing to do with hogs. But he went to the dogs, he went to the hogs. Verse 16. And it said, they had a filled his belly with a husk that the swine had eat. And then it says, no man gave unto him. There he was. After he got through, he was still hungry. You see, people seeking more pleasures now than they ever seek before because they're still hungry. They're looking for something different than what God has furnished at God's house and God's word. They're looking for something different. And whenever they get something different, they're never satisfied. They're still hungry. Why? Because they will nothing feed a starving soul but the word of God and the things of God. They're hungry. People are starving in this country for the word of God. There's a famine in our land. And this famine, the greatest famine that's ever been in the land, is this word of God. It's a famine. Now, we have a big meal next week. But you see, there are a lot of people who go hungry next week for the word of God. He said, no man give me. He was hungry. There's nothing that will substitute worship. I don't care what people are doing. When it's time to worship, nothing will substitute worship. You can get away if you want to. You can try if you want to. And I'm not telling you this. This is God talking. You don't get mad at me. I didn't write this Bible. I didn't write this. This is the word of God. There will nothing take the place of worship. Need to get back to worship. There comes a time when all these pleasures, and then he was deserted. Because it said, no man gave him. There'll become a time when everything that people tries in their life to satisfy that starving hunger in their life, thinking they're doing good, it'll be a time whenever they're not satisfied. They will not satisfy the hunger of their heart. Everything they've tried, no man give me. Man without God is just incomplete. But the nature of God is love. Aren't you glad of that? The saving nature of God. If God looked down on us and said, none of us are good, no, not one, then would none of us make it. If any of us understand, no one of us understands. But it says now the saving nature of God. I'm certainly glad God is love, and I'm certainly glad God saves. Why? Because love is so much. Luke chapter 19 and 10, it said the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Aren't you glad of that? You know, you ain't need to invite somebody to be with us every Sunday. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday night you can. Why did Jesus Christ leave glory to come down to dirty Bethlehem? Why did Jesus Christ leave the streets of gold to come and walk on the streets of Galilee? Why did he leave that gold sepulcher that he had, the ruler, to come down and have a cane put in his hand? Why did he leave the throne of God to come down and ride on a jackass? Why did Jesus Christ leave that crown of diadems and come and wear a crown of thorns? The saving nature of God. That's why he done it. The lost sheep represents Jesus Christ, the Son, rescuing mankind. Reach down and bring us near him. Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. He lifts us and he leads us. The lost coin, it represents a revealing God, the Holy Spirit. She took that broom, she began to sweep that house. That was stirring up. What's the Holy Spirit doing in your heart right now? Is stirring your heart. Has he revealed anything in your heart that needs to be corrected? The same thing as that lady sweeping that house. The Holy Spirit of God is sweeping your heart this hour, this minute, if you have not yet got out completely. And as the God, Holy Spirit, stirs our heart, there's dirt in our heart that ought not to be there. And the Holy Spirit is convicting us of that sin that's there and reveals those things that are hidden, that we might get it out of our heart and get it right with God. That's what the woman's doing by sweeping the house, finding that. The Holy Spirit of God is stirring our heart up. Did he stir your heart up? He'll stir your heart up. That's the reason we need a homecoming. We need people's hearts to be stirred up. What God needs in their life and what we need God for. And then the lost son, it represents the reaching out and securing of mankind of the nature of the Father. Because you see, he is all love. And so you know the story from verse 17 on down to 24. The son got to thinking. He said he came to himself. He said, my father, he's got enough of food in the house to feed all of his servants and plenty left. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll rise and I go to my father. And I say, Father, I'm not fit to be your son, but I just want to be a hired servant in your house. So he says he arise, he got up, he went to go toward the Father. This is the only time in the Bible that you ever find out that God run. That God run. And I can see it so plain. Y'all that's got kids, you know, from time to time, you know that, you know what, sometimes youngins hurt your heart. You know, sometimes when you raise them up and they're little, they say, you always say, you know, they're on your toes, when you get bigger, they're on your heart, you'll find that to be true. And sometimes they'll be in rebellion. They'll get in rebellion against you, and they will really hurt your heart. And I can see this old woman, old man, now they have done everything they could for that son. And they're sitting there on the front porch in their rocking chair, and they're rocking. And so many days they've been out there rocking and looking. Think about our son. They've done everything they could for him and give him everything they could give him and raise him the best they know how to raise him. But yet he wanted to leave church. He wanted to leave the house. He wanted to leave and go off. And he didn't want to come back. Spent all the money that daddy's worked hard to give him. But they sat on that old rocking chair and they're rocking. Mama looked over to dad and says, I wonder what he's doing tonight, our son. Wonder if he's got a warm bed to sleep in. I wonder if he's got plenty to eat. I see the old dad looking over to the mom. So I don't know, honey. We've done the best we could. Wish we could have done more. We've done all we know to do for the baby. But he grew up and he had to live his own life. Don't you know their heart was tore out? And then the boy had a word or two he had rehearsed. He's going to tell his daddy when he got back. But you see, his daddy is beginning to rock, that old rocking chair. He looks down the lane. He sees that particular walk, the way that man is walking. He's got a particular walk and about the same stature. Then he begins to realize that's his son. Oh, he said, Mama, get them dumplings ready. Mama, we might have to go kill a chicken for dinner. A fatted calf. Get that good suit that we had bought before we went off. We never had a chance to give it to him. bring those new shoes, put a ring on his finger, a robe upon his back, and then he flew off that porch. He did not wait for that son to come to him. He got off that porch, and he run, put his arms around his son. You know what? That's exactly what homecoming is all about. It's for God to understand when somebody, Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, wants to come home, come to the Father. And you see, it may be somebody that's not even saved, that's not a member. But you see, it says whenever he goes after that sheep, all angels rejoice more over that one, those 99 of those just sheep. If you just come, what's wrong with God's people won't come? God's got his arms out. Most of us live in a foreign country. If you want to know the truth of it, most of us are like this prodigal son. We want what God's got for us. And that's exactly what we're asking God for this nation. Oh, God, bless this nation. Oh, God, bless this nation. Give us this, give us that. Do this first, God. You know why we're asking God that? Because we want what God gives us, and we don't want God. If we did, people would lay down what they're doing, and they'd bring their worship to share with other people at God's house. And we'll start worshiping. People, it's late. The evening sun is sinking low in our country on the lives of our family, our loved ones, and our members. God's sitting on that porch, but I tell you, we got to make a turn and come to him, because he have not moved, we have. As a church, as a family, as a person, and as a nation. And we don't have much time left. Time is running out. But if anybody wants to come, I guarantee you, the saving nature of God will meet you anywhere that you're willing to come and meet God. As we come with a song of invitation, as I said, this is a pre-sermon of family coming together and homecoming. I do not know what Richie Allen will preach, but I know God will lay a message on his heart, and the Holy Spirit of God will take the Word of God, and he will sweep your heart, and he'll reveal unto you the things that need to be revealed. Now, whether you correct them or not is up to you, but I assure you one thing, that God will do his part, and his Word will not come back to him void. They will accomplish what he sent it out to do. Whether you come or not, you'll know the Word of God. And the Word of God will set you free, and a lot of people need to be set free. If you want to come this morning for salvation, you need to come. You believe that God will save you, all you have to do is ask him and he'll save you, you need to come this morning. If it's homecoming that you're looking for, and I'm not talking about coming to me, really not really coming to this church, but I'm talking about turning back to God. Now is the time to do it. And I tell you, we need people to come back to God. We need a homecoming. You know what? I don't usually ask for amen, but I believe Pleasant Hill Baptist Church needs a homecoming. What do y'all think? I'm not talking about just eating food over there in a day set aside. I believe we need a homecoming. I really do. As we stand and sing this beautiful hymn, I have decided.